Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of being together with God's people. We thank you for this precious church. We thank you, Father, for the love, camaraderie, community, family that's abound here. I pray, Father, that you bless them, to meet every need they have. And Father, you supply all the things that are necessary for the continuance of this church. God, I pray that you bless and meet every need today. May Christ be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to call your attention to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans is the greatest doctrinal book in the New Testament. Chapter 12 of Romans covers the doctrine, listen very carefully, of individual responsibility in three areas. Number one, in verses 1 and 2, the believer's supreme act of worship, that is an individual responsibility. Number 2, the believer's giftedness and its use in the body, verses 3 through 8. The third thing this chapter covers, the believer's exercising of grace in his relationship toward others, verses 9 through 21. I want to look at verses 9 and 10 this morning, because they point out a particular necessity in the body of Christ. Jesus said it this way to his disciples when he broke bread with them just before his arrest and crucifixion. He said this to his disciples: "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love is the element that God instilled in the hearts of his family, his children, those that know him as their Savior. He's put into their heart the ability to love beyond human love. This is a love that transcends what men can do. When men say they love one another, they don't mean what God means. God means he loves you unconditionally, loves you exactly as you are, loved you enough to let his son die and pay your sin debt. He loved you. And once you get saved, he instills in your heart that same kind of love. Let's look at our verses, because they tell us about this thing we call love. In verse 9 it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." This sermon begins in verse 9, that begins with the word love. Let love. Now, this is the word agape, but it takes a little different meaning here, because it has to do with your affection. It means here affection on display. So when it says, let love be without dissimulation, it's saying, let your affection be on display. It's talking about what we do and how we do it. The word here, as it's used in a similar way by Paul when he described the love feast in the New Testament church. The early church, there were many people that were poor. Some were even still in servitude and slaves to other men. They were in the church and they had nothing. And every Sunday, the people that had something, that were well-to-do, brought a meal, a gracious meal. It wasn't just leftovers. They brought a beautiful meal and fed everybody in the church to show their love. And it became known as the love feast. That was practiced in the New Testament church for some years. So it's that kind of love we're talking about. And I want you to notice this first point. It says, let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation is the word we would get our word hypocrisy from. It's saying, let love be not hypocritical. In fact, it's stronger than that. Let love be sincere. Let it be true. Let it be honest, just. Let love be sincere. And certainly to God, amen, it's God's word. It's man's word outside the church. We're to love people. We're not to judge people. We're to love people. But especially this verse is talking about inside the church. Or to love those that are here. We that are members of Salem Baptist Church are to love those that are here. This is your family, those that know Christ. This is the body of Christ. And as a body, we're to love one another. We're to act together. We're to form a bond. Or to love one another. When a person does not do this, they're dissimulating. What does dissimulation look like? It's a person that acts civil toward another, it actually dislikes them. Dissimulation. It's a person who offers kindness yet hopes he never has to do it. It's a person who acts pious in correction and confrontation yet carries revenge in his heart. Let love be without dissimulation. There's a second thing it says to us here. It says we are to abhor evil. We are to abhor evil. Abhor is the word that means to detest, to hate. And it means to hate what evil is and what evil does. Do you know that when we think of our own personal shortcomings or sins, we very seldom attach the word evil to them. But sin is evil. When you go contrary to what God says and what God's word requires, you're practicing sin. And sin is evil. And this word, abhor, means to detest beyond reason. That is, you detest it sorely. means to hate evil for its own sake. It means to settle in your heart what evil is. Does anybody really have to tell you what evil is? Haven't you settled that yet? Why are we to do that, Pastor? Because God has forbidden evil. Flee evil. Cleave to that which is good. Because evil, listen to me, evil is the reason Jesus died on the cross. He died to pay for your evil, sinful condition. Jesus did that. So when it says, let love be without dissimulation, abhor evil, God is saying to us, what does your love look like? There's one other thing in this first verse. We're to cleave to what is good. Cleaving means to hold on to grip tightly. And have a thought of when it says cleave to that which is good. It means that there's to be a consistent practice of good works in our lives. And in fact, it means cleaving means that you are working toward becoming one with goodness. You so live goodly, you so live good works, you so do good works that you become that way. That's how you are. We declare our faith by good works. Good works will produce the right kind of joy in your heart. You'll have a happy heart when you do good works. Let love be without dissimulation. More than that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's what love's supposed to look like. Amen? Amen? But in the next verse, the writer does kind of a different take. In this next verse, he tells us what love is to do, how it acts. So he says, in verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another. Brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. There are three marks here, first of all, of love in this passage, this verse. The first thing it says that love is marked by a mutual love. Love one another. It does not say, be kindly affectionate to another, but it says, be kindly affectionate one to another. That's reciprocal. It's mutual. As I love you, you love me. I got another one. Whether I love you or not, you love me. Whether or not you love me, I love you. There's to be a mutual love. And in a body like this, it's so essential. Folks, you must commit to this. This area what this love is really. Relational, being kindly affectionate. That word comes from an old English word, kin. Kindly comes from the old English word kin, and it has a thought of those that are your kindred. So when it says be kindly affectionate, it's saying be kind to your kindred affectionately. You're to have the kind of love that is affectionate. My daughters are older. One is 48, one is 46. And they still kiss me. They still call me dad. And when they kiss me, the grandkids kiss me. So I get 9 of those. But it's because we're kindred. We're affectionate toward one another. Do you know in the early church, they used to kiss one another? Just on the teeth. It wasn't anything wrong. It was an affection. Because they know they were going to get ditched on it in the public eye. They were going to get treated with disdain. And they found their love in the body of Christ. It was a relation. This verse tells us love is mutual, love is relational. It even tells us love is unconditional. Do you read that verse and find one condition required upon anyone before you have to show them kindness? Before you have to be friend them? Before you have to love them? Before you have to be affectionate to them? It does not say when they are friendly or when they are good, or when they meet certain expectations, I can be kind to them. It's irrespectful of those things. You're to be kind to them. So this love in this verse is mutual, it's relational, and it's unconditional. We haven't even got to the how. Here's the how. Be ye kindly affectionate. If you can write one word under those two words, kindly affectionate, it would be tenderness. Tenderness. In fact, it means the disposition of affection is tenderness. You know, when someone upset me, my dad used to say, put the car in neutral before you strip the gears. I felt that way before. I'm not like putting it in neutral, like stripping the gears. But that is not here in this passage. This passage says, be ye kindly affectionate. Your disposition of affection should be tender. It's a love that responds in tenderness to those we call brothers and sisters in Christ. This whole passage is about brothers and sisters in Christ. The grace we're to show, and grace is shown to our brothers and sisters in Christ through a kind affection, a tenderness. And this works from the inside out. This can't be pretended. Listen, if you're really doing this, people will know it. They will feel it. They will sense your heart when you are kindly affectionate, when you have a tender response to them. And it's not about how you view them. Well, he said something wrong to the other day. It's not about how you view them, listeners, but how they are in Christ. They're on a different plane. They're our family of faith. They, like we, are objects of God's tender mercy. They are necessary, absolutely necessary for the body. Everybody here is absolutely necessary for the body. That's not enough. They're adopted by the same God. They're in the same family. They have the same, they're the same joint heirs with Christ. They're going to the same heaven. You're going to live with them forever. Treat one another tenderly, please. Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love. That word brotherly is the word philos. The city of Philadelphia, that word Philadelphia comes from philos, the Greek word. It's called the city of brotherly love. You don't want to go up there on a football game night and while they're losing, you won't find any brotherly love there. But here, there's to be brotherly love. When it says that you're to have brotherly love, it takes kind of the tact of carefulness. How you apply your love to others, you're careful in your action. And brotherly love has at least five marks. If you want them, I'll give them to you here. Brotherly love is marked by its demeanor. Its demeanor. The demeanor you have is cheerful with the love of family. Brotherly love is marked by its proper judgment. It judges properly. It does not jump to conclusions. Brotherly love is marked by concern. Genuine concern. Brotherly love is marked by its protectiveness, how it defends its commitment. People in the New Testament were ready to die for their love for others. And then I think one mark is often left out, but it should be maybe the number one mark. Brother love is marked by an unwillingness to offend. An unwillingness to offend. I will not offend. Then it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. This love is by deference. D-E-F-E-R-E-N-C-E, deference. In honor, preferring one another, deferring to someone else. To value others in the highest degree by placing them ahead of yourselves. Now, if you're going to do that, this means you're not to seek honor for yourself, but you should to show honor to others. Not to seek honor for yourself, but to show honor to others. Again, there is to be no hypocrisy. You do not honor someone with a gift card to a restaurant, then hope he chokes a mistake. No. It's just an act of kindness from the heart. Now, folks, how are you doing? You're going to be, I'll be leaving here. You'll be looking for a new pastor. Practice this as you search for the new man. Let everything be tantamount to that. Love one another. Even if you have a disagreement, love one another. Disagree agreeably. Amen? Fall in love with Christ. Fall in love with you. Sweet. Same Baptist Church. God bless you. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to love one another. Lord, may we be committed to the love that Jesus had for us. And may it be displayed at Salem Baptist Church, as it has in the past 8 years of my ministry. The love has been incredible. May they continue. May they go on. May they just practice these simple truths until Jesus comes. We pray in Jesus' name.